Hey friend, if wholesale feels overwhelming or you're not getting the sales traction that you want, it is probably because you're trying to piece together advice from 100 different places. A podcast here, an Instagram post there, advice from another brand owner that you deeply respect and admire. But the result of that is lots of ideas, but no real strategy for your particular business. And that is exactly why you need PaperCamp. PaperCamp is our 4-week coaching program where we will help you build your wholesale ecosystem, a wholesale business that's designed specifically for your products, your goals, and the way that you want to grow. Because let's be real, there is not just one roadmap to wholesale growth. There are so many different levers that you can pull. You could do trade shows, you could sell on fair, email outreach, sales reps, referrals. There are so many opportunities. You don't need to do all of them, especially not at the start, but you do need to understand how the wholesale ecosystem works so that you can choose the strategies that are right for your brand and build a system that brings in consistent wholesale sales month after month and year after year. Inside PaperCamp, we will help you do exactly that. Together, we'll build a wholesale strategy that you can stick with, from your product assortment and your pricing to your sales tools to your outreach for retailers and marketing. Through our live coaching calls and community discussions, you will get personalized support so that you can make confident decisions that are tailored to your business. I have spent more than 15 years helping more than 35,000 product brands build stronger wholesale businesses, and I would love to help you do the same. Enrollment for PaperCamp is now open, but only for a limited time. And we've been running this program since 2011, and we sell out every session. If you are ready to stop piecing together wholesale advice and start building a wholesale business that's designed to grow with you, I would love to have you join us. Head to proof2product.com/papercamp to learn more and enroll today. That's proof2product.com/papercamp. I look forward to working with you. Hey friend, this week I'm sitting down with returning guest Audrey Wollin of Urbanic, and we're talking about navigating a huge business transition. About a year ago, Audrey decided to close her retail shop, and we'll talk about that today. Audrey opens up about the difficult decision it was to close after being open for nearly 2 decades. We'll talk about the challenges and emotions of stepping away from something that you've built from the ground up. We talk about hustle culture and the process of rediscovering creativity and purpose outside of traditional business models. We also talk about what she does and does not miss about running an in-person stores, the pressures of being responsible for a large payroll, and the power of pausing to reflect on what you really want in both life and business. Friends, if you are grappling with any sort of change, if you're feeling stuck or questioning your next move, then I really feel like this episode is kind of a permission slip to follow your intuition and to honor your evolving needs, and really kind of just explore what's possible when you give yourself the space to grow. Now, this episode is brought to you by our Proof to Product Labs coaching program. We are doing something new coming up in labs in July. It is called CEO Week. We're going to help you lock in your focus for Q3 and give you the steps you need to take immediate action on things that really have been requiring your attention for a while. But we're going to push that business to the next level. We start in mid-July, so head to proof2product.com/labs to learn more. Again, that's proof2product.com/labs.
I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of 4. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Audrey, welcome back to Proof to Product. How are you?
Good. I mean, I cannot believe that we're doing this again. It feels like yesterday when I saw you in the aisle of Noted. It turns out it was like 4 years ago.
I know, right?
We are again. Yeah.
What is time these days? Seriously, yeah. What is time? So for our listeners, you have been on the show a handful of times. Most recently, I think it was the end of 2023, where we discussed the changing landscape of wholesale trade shows. And then we also had you on a while ago, like early, like I think 104 was the number, where we talked about running your retail store. So it feels a little bit full circle to have you back today talking about your decision to close the shop and how that's been going for you. So let's start there. What made you decide to close down your retail shop that you had had for years and years and was like notorious in the industry as one of the best shops to be in?
So many things. I will start off by saying that when I opened the store in 2006,
yes. Yeah,
I followed my gut at that time. You got to follow the thing that's innate, like what is driving you. And I knew without a doubt that this was something I had to do, that I needed to do, that I wanted to do. And I started getting the birthing pains of feeling that I wanted to close. Not close the brand. I think it was more of like I was growing out of my role, and I'll get into why, but Urbanic was amazing as a retail shop. It ran a really, really amazing, beautiful course. We weren't just a store. I'm so aware of what we were in the community. And it was a lot of work and it was so great. But I think that, well, I remember at a party a couple years before, I was talking with a good friend and I was just opening up about how I was feeling about work. And I remember saying to her, I just feel like there's something more for me and for this brand than just the retail. Like, I kind of feel like the retail is holding us back a tiny bit.
Interesting.
But I wasn't like brave enough at that time because I was like, this is the brand. I felt that I'm so in it and this is what I've been building towards.
Well, and you'd been doing it for almost 20 years at that point. So like, there is that like sunken cost fallacy that comes up of like, I've been pouring my time, my heart, my money, my love into all of this. How can I walk away from something like this after so long?
And I think I always knew I was never going to be walking away. Like, I didn't sell it. Like, I didn't just, I've always had the Urbanic Forever mindset, but I also needed to be open to what it was telling me. And so I think that I let it tell me. Like, I think that there was the great years, like the golden years, but then I started to kind of feel like I want to do more. I know we're not just a shop, but I'm feeling like enclosed in this. And then we hit like a series of the harder stretch, which was like from the pandemic. We lost our lease to a chain store on Abbot-Kinney. That was, we moved and built a new store. There was many things like that that came in. And then the Palisades fires. I mean, there's the rising cost of doing business in Los Angeles. So many things that I feel like that I just got to the point where I just assessed the situation. Where do I want to be? What do I want to do? Who even am I? You know, like I've been doing this for so long. And I made that really hard decision. And you know, the minute I made it.
Just a relief, huh?
Yes. I am doing exactly what I need to be doing right now. And it was, I'm not going to pretend that like it wasn't like a little scary. Like it was.
Oh, for sure.
I had been doing it for so long. I think I might have said this on one of our podcasts before, but when I signed the lease originally, when I took that big first step, I found out I was pregnant with my first son like the next day, right?
So yes. It was like, you've been building businesses and babies like this whole time.
Like, I sort of have been like living this hustle of like raising my kids, like building a brand, operating, creative directing a retail store, making it more than that, all that stuff for so long. It's like being on this like fast moving train and always having this like little yearning to just like get off for a minute and just reassess like who I am, what am I doing? Who am I? Like, who do I want to be? Where is this brand going? Is it about the brand? Is the brand going to turn into something else? Should I close the brand? What is it?
All of those questions are so relatable. I'm sure everyone listening right now is like, oh, yes, I have been there with all of these things. So how did you even make time to get this clarity? Like, when you are on this train moving so fast and always putting out fires, how did you build in time for you to be like, hold on, let me push pause for a moment and figure out what I personally need and want?
I think that the birthing pains were the harder time to make that decision because I'm sort of outgrowing my role. I never wanted it to just be about a storefront and then the hustle of it all. But I do think that like the travel of time to get to like point A, the birth, and then the end of that chapter comes from, and what I mean by the store was telling me is like that sort of series of hardships at the end, I really evaluated my stress level and where I was at with my family, my relationships, even my creativity. I will say that my creativity was suffering greatly because I was so consumed in the almost like operations that I was like losing my intimacy with the brand of where it started and my passion for it. And even though I knew Urbanic Forever, this is not like something that just goes to die, maybe rest. I don't, you know,
takes
I, in my mind bloom and this of something more better or something new. I don't know. But I think it was more like the path revealed itself with what was happening within the brand and like just the ebbs and flows of what felt great and like wins and like what felt so hard. How am I going to get through it? It just felt like it was time.
Yeah.
And so I made the decision. I looked up the scale of time, the holidays that were coming up, like what were we looking, the whole picture, and took a big gulp and I exhaled.
I'm curious because you had a team, you had others relying on you. Did you worry at all about like, what are others going to think in the industry? Was my team going to do like, I'm a very much a people pleaser. So I would constantly worry about like everyone around me, but also balancing the whole, like, this is what's right for me. This is what's right for the business and having to honor that and disregard what anyone else might think or say or need. How did you balance that?
Well, as far as the staff goes, I was very transparent with them along the way because they're family. My staff has always been my Urbanic girls, one guy, but the Urbanic girls were always like a first priority to me. The business was run like a family for the most part. And there were so many amazing women. We can get into that later. But during the, I think that year building up to it, I was really transparent about where I was at.
Yeah. Change is coming.
Yeah. And also so available to them for any, do you want more hours? Like, what can I do to make sure that if I do move in this direction, you guys are good?
You're taken care of. Yeah.
Now with the industry, there's no way to be like, so.
And also you're never going to please everybody.
No,
so like really just standing in your truth and being like, here's what I'm doing and here's why is like all you can do.
Yeah. And I'm still so tight with the industry. I'm very integrated in that. But I think the harder bit was the people, like the customers, the regulars, like the people that have supported us for so, so many years.
Yeah.
That was extremely challenging. Like I will say that I thought I was prepared. Once I made the decision, I'm like, I'm doing the right thing. I know that this is the path I should be on. I am unlocking doors for new things and to come in and feeling really good with that. Well, fast forward to that last week of business.
When I can't imagine how emotional like that was.
Pouring and it was a tear fest. People that I've known for 20 years that I haven't seen in 20 years, like flooding through the doors, hugs, tears, memories, emails. I mean, it was really, really, it's like, you know, you're a beloved store and there's so much gratitude for me in that. But I realized that I am so connected to these people. And like, yeah. I think that part of it was always the most real to me, the most meaningful is to be that. And so that was very, very, very hard.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think there was some during that I was like, you know,
did you have second thoughts
for a minute? I'm like, what? But then it's okay to have that sorrow and like that sadness and also balance it with the happiness and the joy that comes from like being on the path that you know is the right thing for your life.
Absolutely. You talked about a lack of creativity and that you started to feel like that was dwindling. Your spark was kind of lessening. Do you feel like now that you've had some time with the store closed and you've been able to focus on other things, which we can talk about those other things too, but do you feel like you're getting your creativity back?
I do. I think one thing that I learned is I can't, like, there's no option for me in life to ever be in a place where I'm not involved in something creative. I think like I wasn't exactly sure what we were going to, like, I knew I would continue with Urbanic Goods. But I didn't know. So I took a pause, not a big one, but it was more like, let me just like really work on my family. Let me just like be present in my life. Like, let me just understand where my health is at. Just doing things that were always, I've been reactive for so many years, just reacting to this. And it was sort of like more being and being present in where we're at in life and where I'm at in life. And so in the midst of that, I've really hunkered down and like laid out the land of like everything. And I was like, tacking away. And then I was like, oh, I really need to be doing something creative every day. There you go, paper source. That one's for you. But I do. I have to always have that. And so then all of a sudden I was like pressuring myself, like, oh, I better be creative all of a sudden. And it wasn't until
you can't force it.
You know, you can't. It wasn't until I laid off and I just got back to that like calm state of, I know this is the right thing. And then it's sort of like, oh, I really am having sparks of creativity. I mean, not just like beyond paper and stationery. That's always a passion, but interior design, like photography, reading. There's been no reading for me other than self-help or business books for
years, huh?
Many, many years. And like, it was almost like a dare. What would it be like if I read a fiction book? And I almost felt guilty about it. I was like, this is amazing. Like reading a book. And so I think that changing that workflow to with the creativity just starts to spark naturally when you get back to your being and yourself and you're not forcing it. So I have the studio and I'm exploring different things, definitely within the brand, definitely without. But I think right now I'm just at that place too, where I'm just sort of absorbing more, seeing more, appreciating more, and letting that spark and inspire my creativity.
It sounds like you had to kind of go through a deconstruction period, so to speak, of like unraveling that, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like, you came up in the hustle culture, like you and I both started our businesses in the girl boss phase and the hustle culture. And now we have to kind of unwind from a lot of that of like, that's not how I want to do business. That's not how I want to run my life. That's not what I want for myself. So, I mean, do you feel like that's kind of how you had to unravel?
100%. It's not even something I've known before. You know, you go back to where we started our businesses and it was like, keep going. I mean,
you just put your nose to the grindstone and get it done.
Right. I'm like unfamiliar with like, and I think that this was part of the uncomfortability in it. So we were back in Twitter blogger days. It was do all the things and then do more things. Mm-hmm. And it's in some ways it's like that now, but it was like, well, while we were building, all that never stopped, do all the things and do more things. There is always a continual feeling of keep scaling, keep reinventing, keep creating new things, like new collaborations. And I did, don't get me wrong, I loved all of that and I'll always be a hustler.
Same. I work hard, you work hard, but there's a difference between like hustling just to hustle or because we think we have to and choosing or getting very excited about a project, right? Like those are two different things. But reflecting on something you said earlier, that rest component, that's a lesson that a lot of entrepreneurs have a tough time with because our brains are always firing. We always have ideas. There's always something to do. So for you to be able to like consciously say, I'm going to pause and look around and focus on the present and read a book. And like, I don't know. I think that's very admirable.
Honestly, Katie, the uncomfortability in coming down from all that time in that kind of hustle, I was definitely uncomfortable in my own skin right at the beginning. I was sort of like, I wake up at the crack of dawn and start working, juggle my family with it. And then well into the night, whether I'm actually working or mentally working, I don't ever turn it off. I'm living and breathing Urbanic. Every ounce of my being is that shared with my family and my relationships. And decompressing from that and allowing myself to not, didn't feel like I was allowing myself to not. It felt like, what do I do with myself? At first.
Yeah.
What am I stressed about right now? Like, what should I be doing?
How do I stay productive? Yeah. Yes.
And so that took a little bit of getting on top of to sort of like retrain myself, because I knew without getting past the understanding of how to relieve myself from that, I was never going to get to the place of really exploring new creative projects, who I really am, any of the things that got me on this path to begin with. So that is something to consider for sure. You know, when it comes down to reinventing, it's like, do you know how to do it right when you get into the new pan? You know?
Yeah. But also I like that you're giving yourself space to like explore and play and figure it out. You know, I mean, you're working on creative projects. You are building out new products. You are selling your products wholesale. Like you're doing stuff, but you're doing it in a much, it seems to me from the outside looking in, a much more intentional way that's aligned with where you are in life right now and what you want out of life. And I think that comes with time and experience being an entrepreneur. And I think it's admirable. So sounds like you've learned a lot about yourself through this process.
The health bit has been important too. I was like, oh, I should, you know, make my appointments. I feel like I've been doing or trying to do Pilates for like 3 years. every time I'm like the one getting helped in the class, like always so bad at it. I had my first class the other day where I'm like, wait, I think I got it. That is huge for me. Just any new thing that you learn or can get good at. But I realized it's all about mental focus. Where are you at? If I'm normally, if I would be in a class or anything like that, it would be like, okay, how long? Because I need to start working on insert.
Yeah, other things filtering through your brain.
When you're able to be present and in that moment, it just goes to show how you can start to achieve new parts of your life that you didn't think that you were going to be able to.
Totally. So earlier you mentioned that one of the biggest things you miss about having the shop is just the customers and the interaction and the people and the community that you created there. Are there any parts that you do not miss about having a shop?
Yes. I will also say with the missing, I need to talk more about the missing because I think it's important, you know.
Carry on.
I definitely miss the people, you know, the Urbana girls, like the culture that we had and that we built within the walls. We had something really special. And I do miss a lot of those days that, you know, the cheersing of eggnog on Christmas Eve and the, I don't know if you remember, we used to do these like taste tests during our staff meetings. It was so fun and quirky and stupid, but amazing. And just, you know, the customers, but also I miss like the storytelling and the experiments and the marketing of that. And way back in the day, we did like Cupcake Saturday, all these collaborations. Like there was so much richness to the colorful world there of all the things we did, like the book signings and, you know, all that. It just goes on and on. Every now and then, like my photo library will pop up some random picture. I'll type in, I'm looking for something. And what comes up is like us spray painting something weird for like a window. And so I'm like, oh, I like
remember when we did that.
Yeah, there was like so much to that. That was just really, really fun and an amazing, amazing part of that chapter. But I will say that there's a balance there of things I don't miss. I definitely don't miss the feeling of never, ever being off. I mean, I can't even tell you, like, I feel like this past holiday season, like Christmas holiday season, I feel like every holiday season I can remember was like kind of me like flatlined for a good 2 weeks, just like staring at the wall, like the shell of a human being, because my whole staff and I worked our absolute hardest getting us to that finish line. Obviously the most important part of our fiscal year as far as, you know, sales, but we work so hard and all the gift wrapping and all that. Every person was 1,000% on deck. But what that took away a little bit, and for me being on top of it all, was just living life and getting to experience that with my family, or Saturdays or Mother's Day or all those things where it was like my whole entire focus was like, make it work, make it be the best it can be, no matter what. That's how I was channeled. But then I sort of missed, what is a Saturday? What does it feel like to go to bed at a reasonable time on like Christmas Eve and that kind of thing. So that was definitely part of it. I don't miss, although I love having staff and being like on top of a team. We had, by the way, I think I counted about when I was doing like some paperwork. I'm like, we had, I think, 76 employees in the life cycle of Urbanic, the retail store. And so fortunate to have really like hit the jackpot with amazing people. But having a team is big, and you become your, as a top person and that's above managers and everything like that, there's a lot that you take home with that, the inner workings of the people, they're all of that, that this and that. And the other thing that's sort of, I really like the creative and seeing projects work, but the people part was, I guess, the technicalities of all that, and that could be difficult.
It's challenging from the like just operational standpoint of legal considerations and things and cash flow for, you know, running payroll. And but also you're responsible for these people's livelihood in a way that's not just a paycheck. It's also, as you said, you're close to them. You want to understand what their life and what their priorities are, and you want to support them in that. And so having that balance too of providing opportunities for your team to thrive and meet their personal goals, but also having to manage what's best for the business. That's a real tricky line to hold sometimes.
And like you, I'm a pleaser also. So it's, again, I'm empathetic. If anything's wrong with anyone, I'm like feeling it, wanting to understand like, how's everything going? How's your, you know, that was just a lot emotionally. So that kind of took a weight off. Then there was, of course, like the expenses, like anyone that's listening that has not owned and operated a retail store, you have no idea the layers and layers of financial responsibilities it takes beyond just like rent and payroll. There is so many stupid, I mean, laughable bills. You know, you're like, why am I paying for dumpster pay? Like, what is weights and measures? Like, so many bills, like endless amounts of insurance. Like, if I could tell you the amount of stuff that would go out every month, I'm like, why though? Mm-hmm. LA doesn't make it easy. We all know that. But that became something where, and then every year as things got more inflated, it was very hard to.
Yeah, it's hard to
maintain. About that. It was always a weight, you know, of that. And like, you know, with that, I will brag all day long about all the fun mail that we got at Urbanic and showcase that. But I will say that the flip side of that that I didn't Instagram was all the not fun mail. Mm. Piles and piles of white envelopes saying things I don't really like to read when it's, there's a lot of words and numbers, you know.
All those bills, yes.
And then there's like the issues, you know, there's like a pirating ADA lawsuit where they're out there just to kind of take you down. Myself and many other businesses. Owners I know have had these. It's not for the faint of heart. Equipment breaking, like just people's credit cards not going through. And then we end up eating that, like just all of that stuff that the inbox that will never, ever let you see the light of day. You know, there's all of that stuff that in the day to day, it sort of builds up and it's hard to get that sense of quiet or calm or like, I got on top of this day. Mm-hmm. When the next one rolls in, there's a whole new bunch of that. And I think that it's different if you're like a business that's owned and there's like totally designated people to do all of that bit. But when your own business and you are the top point person for that, at the end of the day, you're still that person doing all of those different hats.
It all falls on you. Yeah. I was talking about that, going back to your team stuff for a little bit. I was talking with my team about this, and I was saying, if there was ever an issue, we were talking about a situation with somebody else that we thought was not handled very well. And I said, if anything ever went poorly here at Proof to Product, like, it doesn't matter which of you may have been involved in that. Ultimately, it falls on me to like correct the problem, to apologize, to make it right, to like fix whatever it is, you know? And I think our listeners understand that because they're in the similar boat of running and operating their own business. But a lot of folks don't understand that, like, you know, when you have those team dynamics, it still falls on you, even if other people are doing some of the work or implementing some of the things.
And if you're not able to sort of turn it off with everything else, you're still working on it.
It can be all consuming. Yeah.
You're still kind of working on it at all times, wanting to do the best in every aspect of your business, which I always have done and wanted to do. But it just, you get to the point where you're losing bandwidth or anything beyond that. And so like some of the things I just mentioned about the parts that I don't miss, oh boy, do I not miss them.
But there's so much you do miss too.
Going back. That's why I'm always open. I don't think retail's like fully out of my system yet. You know, I don't know exactly what that means. But if I ever did go back and do that, if the opportunity was right, it would be done in such a different way than the way I have done it in the past. It would not be the same. I couldn't ever go back into some of the things that I just said because I'm having PTSD.
Well, I think it's really enlightening to hear you talk about this stuff because you have been able to take a little bit of a break from the day-to-day reactive grind, the putting out the fires and stuff. But I would love to hear, like, this is also opening you up to so many opportunities. I mean, really, it's probably shined a light on the fact that, like, you can make this whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. So what does that next chapter look like for you? Creatively, professionally, personally, what are you aiming towards?
Yeah, I mean, this question is unfolding, but at 1 year in, I'm getting my vision straight. I mean, creatively, I love that Urbana Goods is that we're selling it across, you know, the country and it's in a lot of great stores and I want to keep going with that. I do have some ideas with that I'm kind of excited about collaborating with some illustrators, designers, and sort of creating an umbrella there to give the brand some diversity, almost in that way that I miss curating. Mm-hmm. It's sort of that, but
okay.
You know, within the brand. So that's one thing that I'm, you know, have been doing creatively. I know for myself, I'm experimenting with a couple of different things that I'm, you know,
not ready to share yet.
With the retail, I definitely kind of keep my eyes out there for some collaborative portals of like a way that Urbana could like show up again in that way in the retail. But I think that I am just really like sort of wide open and letting things land where they're gonna, and sort of in that same mindset that I had when I first opened the store is sort of like when you're in that place where you're like, I'm open and ready and excited for what naturally comes and lands in the course, it will. And you just follow what's right. I think professionally, you know, I've done consulting in the past with brands and really enjoyed that. I think like I've got the wholesale retail thing down with all the years. I love that. I love helping emerging brands. That's still on the table. I'm still integrated with our industry, still going to the trade shows, all of that. So one of the things I'm really interested in professionally is, I think I might have mentioned this on our last podcast, but in 2022, we had a licensing deal. And it was like such an exciting thing for me. It was something I'd always wanted, and was not the right partnership at all. Mm. And we pulled out of that, and I'm so glad that we did. But when I was in it and all the excitement of this, what it could be, what it could turn into, how our brand could create more products and be able to create and have it exposed to, you know, different types of businesses, I loved all of that. And I think that I would still love that, to have another brand partnership with a licensor.
I could see that working out really well for you.
Yeah, I really am interested in that because it gives us the creative freedom to make so much more than we could just as, you know, our small organic goods brand.
Exactly. I've got so many clients that do licensing and they love the fact that it allows them to create without the manufacturing.
Yes.
Of it, that somebody else takes it, manufactures it. They can still market it. They can still talk about it. They can still, you know, showcase it, but not having to go through the logistics of the manufacturing and distribution is really nice. So,
yeah. So I'm hopeful for that.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, Audrey, it's really great catching up with you. I know that there's been a lot going on over the last year and you've had to make a lot of tough decisions. And I appreciate you sharing your story with us and just what went into those decisions and kind of what your aim is now. I think it's really, really helpful for our listeners to hear that it's okay to pivot in business. And I know I shared this before we started recording, but like right now, you and I have been in the industry for so long and we have seen people come, we've seen people go, we've seen people shift what they're doing, the types of products they're offering. We've seen people just change their business models or whatever. And I think this episode to me is a permission slip to anyone listening who's kind of contemplating a shift in their business to say, it's going to be okay. You're going to be excellent at whatever you do and you need to follow your heart. And that's my takeaway from hearing your story and knowing you personally. But like, what is your takeaway that you want folks to, you know, listening to walk away with?
Anyone that's here listening is listening for the right reasons for their business. My guess is that they listen to all your podcasts. And so them showing up here means that they want to learn some insight, education as far as what they're doing. So with that, keep taking that. Listen to what's really going on inside you. You can always, always push forward in what you're doing, reinvent, take an interesting turn, go a different way. It's like we become creatures of habit. And I think one of the things I learned is it's less scary to sort of stay in what you're doing because that's what you've done, like the sweat equity and all that. But how can you ever really open the doors for what's next and new if you feel like you're caught up in the one thing that might be holding you back? And so I guess with that, just listen to your core gut of what it's actually telling you and keep listening to this podcast because Katie's podcast, there's always something to learn. So
you're amazing. Thank you for that. Audrey, it's been great catching up with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. Tell folks where they can find you online, socials, and also your website.
Online, urbanicpaper.com, Instagram at urbanic. Email me, audrey@urbanicpaper.com. Thanks for listening.
Of course. Thanks for coming. Thanks for tuning in today. I really enjoyed this conversation with Audrey. I think it's a great reminder for all of us to reflect on what we're building with our business and to make sure that the choices and decisions that we're making do align with the business and life that we want to be living. So if you found today's episode helpful, please do leave us a 5-star rating and write a review at ratethispodcast.com/PTP for proof to product. And if you are looking for support growing your wholesale brand, be sure to get on the waitlist for Paper Camp. We run this program live twice a year because we want to get to know you, your business, and we want to help you get to your next step in your wholesale journey. Everybody's path is different and everybody has unique circumstances, and we do work pretty closely with every single person in the program to make sure that they're getting what they need. You can join the waitlist at proofyourproduct.com/papercamp. Again, we personalize this process because we want you to get the answers that you need. So join that waitlist at proofyourproduct.com/papercamp. Okay, thanks so much for listening until the end. I will be back soon with another new episode.